Hello and welcome to Focus on Business. I'm your host, Lee Strickland. Now on today's program, I'm happy to have a returning guest, Ray Chow, hibachi, grill, food trucks, entrepreneur, business guru. He is back. He's been sharing his insights on and experiences with the food truck industry. And he's going to talk about food trucks and technology, his app called Foosy for food trucks, and about a Kickstarter crowdfunding campaign, amongst other topics about his business since he's been here last year. Now, Ray is happily married to his wife, Rachel. He has three kids, Nathan, Maddie, and Allie. He lives in Cary. He's the owner of the Hibachi Express food truck, owner of Catering by Ray. He owns a commissary in Raleigh, currently serving the food truck community. He's co-founder and chief food truck officer, that's CFTO, of Foosy, the technology for the food truck industry. He is a founding board member of RDU Mobile Food Association. He's an advisory board member of Wake County Health and Human Services. He's an NC State graduate with a degree in mechanical engineering, and he is a huge supporter of Make-A-Wish. Ray, thanks for being back on the show today.
Hey, Lee, good afternoon. It's great to be back.
Well, I invited you back because I got an email from you about your Kickstarter campaign. So let's give everybody a little bit of background about your switch from traditional restaurateur to food trucks, and then why you started doing the Foosy app and what the campaign's all about.
I had restaurants for many years, several brick-and-mortar restaurants, and they were going great. And, of course, as the economy started downturning a little bit, we were adapting to our business as our business was changing and incorporated catering and had great success with catering. And then, of course, that's when I started watching the food truck, shows.
The great food truck.
And I was like, wow, that sounds pretty cool. And I saw some veteran trucks roam around. So I kind of got on that excitement and say, I could build one. And I decided to build a food truck just for giggles to complement my business. And we dabbled on a few events, and then we got hooked. We were having great success with it. And then, of course, as my business started morphing, I decided, I don't want to do the restaurants anymore. I love the catering food truck. So about 4 years ago, we exited our last brick-and-mortar restaurant, which I was paying rent.
Right.
And currently have built and own my commissary kitchen that we've been working our catering food truck business out of. So that's where we're at today.
So normally you hear people, they're starting their food truck because they want a traditional brick-and-mortar store. And you've turned that on its head and said, no, wait a minute, I've done the brick-and-mortar. You didn't want the overhead. You didn't want that type of model anymore, and you went to the food truck. So what was it about the food truck specifically that made you so passionate about it versus the traditional business that you were so successful in?
I think I sum it up in one word. You just have a lot more fun with it. When you're bringing a food truck to someone's location, everyone has huge smiles on their face, and they're just excited to see you. And, I'm bringing Hibachi Mobile to them. They don't have to drive to my store anymore. A lot of people will work in North Raleigh, Durham, and Chapel Hill. And the time I had my store in Cary, it was too far. I wouldn't drive that far to go get lunch. But now that we're in the mobile food industry, we're bringing the Hibachi on wheels to their office location.
So you have one truck? Do you have multiple trucks?
Just have the one truck. And we've been running it for right now 6+ years.
Okay.
So we've had some great successes with all the events that we go to. So we're really excited about keeping that rolling for sure.
Well, I know I learned about your truck at Make-A-Wish because you had that as your donation to Make-A-Wish as a fundraising, and that's been, I want to say, 3 years ago we ran into each other. And the bidding on that was just reflected that fun, that excitement. People wanted your food truck for their party, their personal party, and it was an interesting dynamic to watch everybody just so excited to bid.
Yeah, I was actually really surprised. As a business owner, we've contributed various levels to a lot of different organizations. So that first year, we just had a wild hair and say, I heard about Make-A-Wish and their wish ball. And I said, oh, how cool would it be to donate a food truck event to them? And that's what I did. And, I put a retail value on it to cover, 50 or 75 people. So I said, well, I'll be happy to just do one event for free as a donation just to kind of contribute. And it ended up in their live auction raised like almost 3 times the value of it. And I just got blown away. I was like, my little food truck business brought how much to the Make-A-Wish?
I mean, everybody in the room was just, they were determined that it was going to be them that was going to get it.
Absolutely.
And so But I think you mentioned before we went on the air, you brought more food trucks to Make-A-Wish this year?
Well, what I did the following year, I said, you know what, I think I need to attend this ball. So I had my wife and I, we attended the Wish Ball the next year just to kind of experience. And, of course, Make-A-Wish did an A++ job on executing and how everything's presented. It's truly amazing, the people you meet. And I also was able, fortunately, to meet a lot of the Wish families. And, you know, it's one of those things, it's awareness.
Right.
And learning about what they do in families with kids that are terminal or borderline terminal, and they just get this magical wish. I think most of the families go to Disney World, I think, is what they do.
Well, I know some of the kids, I was there and we're meeting them, they're so strong. They're so happy and joyful. And it just teaches you about life through the eyes of a child and how to deal with those kind of things.
Absolutely. And I'm a family man. I've got kids of my own. I would never wish this on anyone, but anyone who has kids that, you know, unfortunately has medical, you know, challenges and they're on the brink of being terminal, I can't really justify it. And I think a lot of the medical profession can't even explain it. But I've actually heard stories where, you know, a child is late stage terminal cancer, you know, her days are numbered. The family goes on this awesome trip to Disney World. They come back a week and a half later, and the child has done so well that she's improving and beating the cancer. And from what I hear, she's still alive today.
That spirit, that miracle of only God knows when our expiration date is, right?
Exactly.
And the joy in that. That encouragement that comes through Make-A-Wish and other organizations is fabulous.
So I thrive on that story every single day. And I was like, what if that was my child? How awesome would it be that Make-A-Wish had the funding to make that wish true? So ever since, I've been like, well, maybe this little old food truck owner of myself can raise a few bucks from the industry. And so I just got this wild, crazy idea of, let me ask some of my fellow food truck owners, hey, will you guys just donate to Make-A-Wish? I don't care if it's $25 or $100 or $500, just whatever you're comfortable with. And last year, I got really surprised because a good dozen plus or so food trucks said yes, and they donated. And if you don't mind, I'd love to share all the trucks that donated. The 13th Taco Food Truck, Q-Espresso, Jay's Italian Ices, Jam Ice Cream Food Truck, Cousins Maine Lobster, Macaroni, Wing Skis, Thai Boxing, Rare Earth Farms, Bo's Kitchen, Bulgogi, Mixed Korean are all the food trucks. They all donated. And, of course, Fusi contributed. My food truck, Hibachi Express, and my catering business, Catering by Ray, of course, we have to support. And my friend Charlie with the tailored look, he hooked me up on the tuxedo, so I look, you know, my
it's
best.
It's got to be Charlie Fortune.
Charlie Fortune, absolutely.
We'll give him a call out, too. I know Charlie.
Yes.
So, You just mentioned Fusi, and so Fusi is the next innovation for the food truck industry. So tell us what Fusi is, and then tell us why a Kickstarter campaign for it.
I've been working on the Fusi project with my co-founder, Chris Wellington, for 3+4 years officially. We've kind of dabbled with the ideas even longer than that, but we kind of made it very official 3.5 years ago. Fusi is building a technology platform suite of apps to support the mobile food industry. Based on my experience, my challenges with a food truck has been, oh my gosh, it's like I've got a million and one things to do every single day.
You've got accounting, you've got inventory, you've got to make the food, you got to deliver the food, you got to maintain the truck, you got to hire the people.
Absolutely.
Et cetera.
Oh, and by the way, you got to go hunt for your events and you got to update the calendar.
You got to marketing, you got to do social media.
Yeah. Who knew about really social media?
The 3,000 hats of an entrepreneur on wheels.
So the idea with Fusi was, there's got to be a way I can build a technology solution for this. You know, there's got to be an app for this. We searched, we downloaded, we tried hundreds of food truck quote-unquote apps out there, and we're like, this is a great app, but there's no trucks on here. How do I find them? Or where is the app that helps food truck owners and actually sends information about events that they can apply for? I mean, even to this day, we're applying for food truck events like we're applying for college. And multiply that by...
with financial aid needs.
Yeah. Apply that 150 right. plus times a year. And, you know, I know my tax ID number by heart because I filled it out 200 times a year. But this is where Foosie comes in. We're building a series of apps to support the food truck industry. And starting off, we've got one, a freemium, that's out where the food truck owners use, and they can kind of check in and automate their social media. But with regard to our Kickstarter, we've launched a Kickstarter recently to help fund the consumer side of the product that we're building. Nothing's more frustrating for a consumer to open up an app that says, here's all the trucks nearby, and either the information's wrong or there's no information.
Right.
So that's frustrating. So we've come across a great approach with the consumer app that we're going to be building. As the trucks check in, they're going to show up on the consumer app. So that means they're physically there. It's 1,001% accurate. And the consumer is going to be like, look at this app. There's a truck. I go see them. And voila, the truck is there serving. So as they build their consumer confidence with this, more and more trucks get on it. And then we're going to have a great food truck party every day.
So it's somewhat taking the concept of Yelp as to where people are, reviews and things too. And it's here, this is the business. The truck can send something to the consumer to say we're here, or is it just the app comes up and it shows everybody's?
There are 1,000,001 ideas in this little thick head of mine. Absolutely. A lot of those features and functionalities will be coming down the road. We just got to hit the first street with the version V.1 of the consumer app, which I got to give them what they need first is,
right,
let me just find the truck. Find the truck and just make sure they're there when I go find them.
Will it be like if I have the app and I open it up and I don't even know one specific truck I want to find, it was just going to show me the trucks. That'll be the basic.
Yeah.
I'm in this zip code. This is where I'm at. It checks me in and it says, okay, here's 6 trucks in your area.
Well, you got to admit, a lot of times when we're out looking for food and I can open this app and here's 3 or 4 trucks within a few blocks, I'm just going to go and check them out.
Right.
But, you know, starting off, yeah, it'll let you know the name of the truck and what kind of cuisine they put, because you want to make sure, you know, you're not, if you're a vegetarian and you're walking to a truck and they're barbecue,
right,
that's not really going to work out too
barbecue
well.
Tofu.
Barbecue tofu.
Sorry, I used to like tofu. Don't like it anymore. So when you're thinking about this and you're taking your business, you have your business plan, and we were talking about you did an entrepreneurship course out of Vance County, Vance Granville, for a food truck. So is this some of the stuff you're talking about in that entrepreneurship class and your coaching and all that? This is what you need to know for a food truck, and this is what you need to be thinking about, and here's your plan, and these are the things you're actually doing for the food truck, for Raise Catering, now for Foosie. You have the plan, you have the financials, you're doing all of these things.
Absolutely. A great opportunity presented itself to me back in the fall and winter of last year. I think it was Chicken Q. They were the couple that were teaching the classes at Vance Granville Community College in the prior seasons, and they just didn't have the
bandwidth.
Yeah, the bandwidth. So they presented it and just see who was interested to do it. I came across the ideas like, why not? It's a great opportunity for me to unleash all this information that I've been building up all these years in my thick head of mine. And so I went out there and we just completed the course back in February this year. And it was only a 4-week course that I went out and there taught a good handful of students who are thinking about doing a food truck, but they just don't know where to start and they want to learn more about it. So I had a great opportunity to share a ton of information with them. And I guess they liked what I had to teach, because we're doing the class again starting in May on the first 4 Tuesdays over at Vance Granville.
I think you probably see that on the Vance Granville Community College page to see where they could get.
Oh, absolutely.
So check out Vance Granville Community College and look for the Food Truck Entrepreneurship course. And if you can get signed up, that'd be great. So you're doing Foosie. You've decided to do Kickstarter versus take on other investors. So just tell everyone how. Go to Kickstarter. They're going to type in Foosie, and what are they going to see?
Yes. As a startup company, you've got to run a lot of different roads in parallel. Just like as a business entrepreneur, you're juggling a lot of hats all the time. So as a startup company, we're definitely entertaining different avenues of raising revenue. And, of course, we're still working with a lot of friends and families who's helped us out to get us to where we're at today. And we're also in communication with hundreds of investors who are entertaining investing in Foosie. But the way I've learned is everyone invests in companies at different stages. So one of the things that we had to entertain was a Kickstarter. So we wanted to launch a Kickstarter program and see what kind of love that we can get from our food truck fans, our food truck followers, and so forth. And Kickstarter.com, you can do a search on Foosy, F-O-O-S-Y-E, and then you'll see our Kickstarter campaign.
So why did you decide Kickstarter versus one of the other platforms? What was your thinking process, and what was it like leading up to launching the actual Kickstarter campaign? What all the things did you have to think about and do as a startup to get prepared to go out there and do it?
In all honesty, I've never done any kind of crowdfunding like this before, so we've been learning along the way. Kickstarter is one of the handful of names that you hear about all the time. So we just decided to, let's go with Kickstarter because they marketed really well to us, and that's what they do best. So we started entertaining and looking on their platform and just following the instructions. It was really simple to set up. And then our Foosy team just had to put all the content and get some cool pictures and put it out there. And we're still learning every single day, no matter how long we've been in business and so forth.
So as you're conveying the concept of this customer app, you're adding an enhancement to your existing Foosy, which was the business side. What about the food trucks that are currently using the app? What's the feedback? What are they thinking about now? The consumer's going to have a side. How do they think that's going to change their business? What are you hearing? And how's it going on the business side of the app? Because you were just getting it started last year, really, and getting it rolled out when we were talking.
The idea behind Foosy is a platform. It's not just one app. It's a platform that's made up of a series of apps. Thing that I've learned and contributed to the company has been I've seen what all these other companies have built a food truck app, and they're trying to charge, you know, crazy amounts, try and make all their money off food trucks. The entire industry overall is made up of multiple customer segments, and you have to tailor products and services to every single segment. So we started off, let's just build an app for the food trucks where they can check in and automate their social media. The time that you save by not having to go into your Twitter and Facebook to tell everyone where you're serving at right now is tremendous amounts of time. Not to mention some of the more older generation of food truck owners, they don't even use smartphones, and they're not real social media savvy. So by having this app that's easy to use, one click, we simplify the process for even the ones who are not social media savvy at all.
So what kind of elements are in the different apps? What's there?
So the next app that we'll be building is for the consumer, right. So the consumers can find the trucks. And it's very imperative and very important that when they open up that app the first time, they see trucks checking in.
Right, and you're talking about checking in. So that's them checking in on the business side.
Yes, that's checking in on their side, their app on their side. So it automatically goes out to social media. So we'll be able to pull that information, and it shows up on the consumer side.
So does it help them manage inventory? Does it help them? What all are the different functions that are in there from the business side? So if I'm a food truck owner, and let's say I'm one of the dinosaurs, I don't even have a smartphone yet, but I know my business is struggling. I want to be able to be found by the consumer. I want them to see me check in. But if I don't have a phone, I can't check in. So I need to know, what's it going to cost? Where do I start? All of those kind of things.
Keep in mind, we are building a series of platforms with a series of apps for the mobile food industry, food truck owners,
right.
And it's being built by a food truck owner.
Right.
I know the other side of the food truck window, so I know a lot of the pains and challenges that we deal with, and also understand what I'm willing to pay for it.
Right.
All the products are in a series. So after the consumer app, we've got to get the technology into event coordinators, because they're always trying to find what's the simplest way for me to hire a food truck without jumping on Google. So when they're able to go in and search for food truck, all this information will be sent out to the food truck owners who are, hey, I'm available. So now a food truck owner can say, I don't have to search for events. They're showing up on my Foosy app. And then it's all one touch apply, one touch pay. And it's the key is using technology for the communication networking.
And then that's already constructed, or is that under development also?
We've got the bones. We just got to get the funding to get the skin, I think is a good way to put it together. So we haven't really shared all that out yet. But, you know, right now we're at the fundraising stage, doing the Kickstarter. Right.
That's for the consumer part. And then Absolutely. You're going to have one for the business functions and apps too.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that's what we call our beta, is to have the suite of apps out where it supports the food truck owners, supports the consumers, and also supports the event coordinators. So our beta customer segments are all three of those, because they all need to support one another. This is where our biggest challenge was at the very beginning. It was kind of like a chicken and egg catch 22 kind of thing. Because the food truck owners want events and customers. Customers want
the food trucks
to where to find them. And the event coordinators wants to know how to hire them and how to book them.
So in the Kickstarter campaign, the actual functionality that your fans, your clients, your customers are going to be in there, even the other food truck owners that would love to have this, they're going to be looking at the check-in capability of the truck, the ability to find events and places to go with their truck, and then their customer is going to be there at the same time. This is what you're building, is that part, so that the customer gets to see, oh, my favorite food truck just checked in down the block.
Absolutely.
And that's where you're starting. And so it's really a ground floor opportunity, and it's a nice innovation to take social media, to take, for want of a better term, a Yelp type thing, and then also business elements of, yes, I'm here, let's blast the marketing out, or, like you said, automating the applications and finding events and opportunities to go out and get your food truck visible. But the challenge is you're innovating again, because like you were talking about, the original food trucks don't necessarily want technology. They drive around and hope they run into a crowd that wants their food, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, that's been the traditional way. And now you're adding that innovation. So how would you say the market is segmented? How many of them are the traditional, don't do anything with technology, we're just driving around, we're going to sit and spend 200 hours a year making applications and memorize our EIN numbers, and we're just going to hope that we get to the right vents and get picked and those kind of things, versus the up-and-coming, the innovative chef that can't afford the traditional store, but he knows social media on the personal side, that mix of millennial, Generation X, Generation Y, baby boomer, all that mix in there, and how is that playing in the industry?
I think a good way to describe it is how many businesses out there don't have a website these days?
But entirely too many.
Too many. But probably 20 years ago, a lot of the small businesses, including myself, were very skeptical about adapting to the technology. Why should I spend thousands of dollars and build a website? Today, this day and age, I think people's kids have websites for some of the things that they do. I think as time progresses, technology improves, the number of, I would say, the way you describe traditional food truck owners who are away from technology, that number is decreasing pretty significantly. So I have seen a lot of very innovative food truck owners. They're all on top of all the social media platforms and smartphones in this day and age. So I would say a majority of the people are somewhat tech savvy, and some of them do need the assistance to be a little bit more efficiency when they use their social media.
So have you been talking to the food trucks and say, how much time are you spending of your day or of your week doing the social media, trying to draw in the customers, doing your marketing so that you know that pain point of and help know, what you're going to be relieving them of if you have an automated app that takes that over?
Yeah, I've spoken to hundreds of food truck owners, if not thousands. I've been to so many different markets and had the pleasure of meeting a lot of very nice and fun and unique food truck concepts all across the U.S. What I've seen, some of the most successful food truck owner teams are someone who managed the front of the house, which is the food truck itself executing, going event to event. Someone who managed what I call the back of the house, not the kitchen, but it has the administrative side.
Marketing, the social media, the website.
Because right now we are probably searching for 90%+ of all the events that we're booking. Maybe 10% actually comes to us through our emails and so forth. But that number's got to flip because the amount of time we have to spend filling out paper applications, searching Google, updating my calendar, all that information can and ultimately will be done a whole lot more efficiently and quicker with a series of products and technology apps down the road.
Now, geographically, are you seeing differences between food trucks in Raleigh versus a food truck in Southern Pines or a food truck in Chicago when you're out there talking? And what are the similarities and what are the differences that come about by the culture of the cities and the areas that you're operating in?
Definitely a lot of the larger metro cities, there's a lot more diverse cuisine types. A lot of what I would call mixed cuisines. You know, pretty awesome to do like a Korean taco or, you know.
The fusion trucks.
I almost want to say Chinese and Japanese, but a lot of people may not be able to tell the difference on some of the food. But that's what I've seen in a lot of the larger metro cities is a lot more very crafty and fusion type concepts. When you get smaller towns and cities, the number of trucks aren't as plentiful or, you know, easy to find. And of course, Raleigh, Durham, Triangle area, we've got several hundreds of food trucks and more coming out every day.
I don't think at lunch you can drive down a road in the Triangle and not pass a food truck.
Absolutely not.
I mean, even in Cary, you know, like there's one at the gas station on the corner and then there's one, in, you know, in the Kroger parking lot and just they're everywhere. I mean, it's just proliferating the area. But doesn't that raise challenges also for how you are managing your food truck and knowing how to keep it something that the customer is looking for, that they want to come back to? What are those challenges and how does that differ for a food truck like yours that comes with a brand because everyone knew your food before versus a startup food truck like the ones that you were teaching at the Vance Granville Community College?
Well, branding is one of those things. Branding starts from day one. When you decide to start your food truck, it could be Ray Chow's food truck. Day one, that's my brand. And you just got to learn to build upon it. I've had the pleasure and being fortunate to build on Hibachi Express since 2001 and just been building it ever since. So my brand is definitely out there. Plus, all the other hundreds of food trucks out there, they've all branded their food truck, and they have their following. When they're out there on a full-time basis, serving at a lot of locations, people start recognizing your food truck brand. So it's not that I bought a franchise, and this is the name of it that's been established. It takes time to build it, but it always starts with day one. So everyone, the way I look at it, everyone has a brand. It's just you don't have a million people recognizing your brand yet. But it starts with one is how I look at it.
And so when you're out and you're deciding what that brand is, so Ray Child's truck versus Hibachi Express or Tiki Tacos, whatever right. You want, whatever you're gonna, your fusion truck is, as the truck owner, as the chef, as the restaurateur on wheels, how important is it for you to sit down before you ever get the truck and decide what food you're producing, what the truck has to be built like, how you're going to run it, what hours, what days, what's going to be on the menu? Are you going to have 10,000 items? Are you going to have 10 items? How does that play into making all the decisions for the business?
In the class that I taught, and I was actually kind of teaching myself along the way, some of the things that I learned, the number one thing, the very first thing, you really need to have a good idea about, and this is even before even thinking about starting a truck, is your menu. What is it that you're going to serve? That's got to be your passion. It's got to be something that this is grandma's chili recipe from the 1800s that you can pass on. It's got to be some type of food menu item that you're passionate about, that you have good experience with. Start with the menu first. Don't worry about the name. Don't even worry about how to build the truck, because all that will come into play. And I say the menu is the foundation. When you start with the menu first, then you can start adding in the pieces to support executing that menu.
So what if we were sitting here and, you know, you wanted to do all your family recipes? And, I mean, that's fried chicken. Down here it would probably be chicken and waffles or some barbecue thrown in. But, you know, your great aunt's Korean, so she has some, you know, Korean barbecue, and you just have this whole mix of foods, and it's not really one cohesive type of food. So does that come in? Do you have to sit down and say, no, wait a minute, I'm going to exclude this because, or are you just going to make sure your brand and the menu encompasses that variety of the menu?
Some of the things that I've learned, some of the people who start food trucks for the first time, they want to have 50 items on their menu. You got to realize how large your food truck is and how many thousands of pounds of product you can have inside this tiny little vehicle. Overall, the idea is you need to have less.
Simple menu.
Have no more than half a dozen items on your food truck, because people walking up to the food truck, they don't need to see 500 ways to make chicken. I use that as a joke for my catering business. They don't need to see that. If you've got 4, 5, or 6 items to choose from, they're ecstatic because of the convenience. And besides, on a small mobile food truck, you can only have enough ingredients for a half a dozen menu items, because you need to have enough of each of those items to sell and execute. Some of the ones that I've seen when they've had 15, 20 different sandwiches and items, that's a lot to choose from.
The complexity of managing the inventory, the complexity of guessing what items are going to sell, the combinations, like, you know, coleslaw goes on 6 things, you run out of coleslaw.
Exactly.
Then your 6 items are off the menu and you have to tell the customer, sorry, we don't have that today, right? And that's what you're getting at.
I seen one food truck in another city. They had 2 menu items. It's a number 1 or number 2. That's all we serve, plus drinks. And they're cranking it out because it's so simple to execute. There's 3 guys on the truck. It's either 1 or 2. And they can crank it out, and they have several hundred orders of each. They're making a great business because they keep it simple. And when people come up to the truck, you want the steak and cheese or you want the grilled chicken, because that's all we have. So the idea behind that is less will actually make you more business. Less menu items, you can execute quicker, and you can make more money doing so.
And you'll have more servings of those available because you aren't taking up the inventory space.
And also think about when you go shop for your inventory. You know, it's 6 things I just got to buy, and I just got to have plenty of it.
Well, and it's true, whether it's a food truck or when I came out of the automotive industry, they'd want 12 kinds of transmissions, and they might only sell 3 of one of the transmissions. It's like, it's not worth it for 3 of those. But we want, and I was like, no, you know, the money needs to go. You make more money getting rid of that one and reducing your investment, and you're able to manage 10 instead of 12 and those kind of things. So, yeah, the complexity of your inventory, the complexity of ordering, the ability to execute, maintain quality, right? Larger batches of production for the steak or the grilled chicken.
Yeah, I'm a car nut myself. I'm a big fan of nice, fun sports cars. So a buddy of mine works at a Ferrari dealership in another city, and he said, you can have any color you want on your Ferrari as long as it's red.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah, it's the Henry Ford philosophy when he did the cars. You can have any color of car you want as long as it's black. And then along General Motors, and now look at what we've got out there. But when we're thinking conceptually about a food truck, because I hear a lot of people thinking about that. It's kind of like when Shark Tank came around and everybody wanted to go on Shark Tank. I think everybody still does, but conceptually, if we're starting with the menu, we get the menu, we test the menu, we go through all of these steps. And so how do we start figuring out, let's say we have 7 items on our menu. We'd like the number 7. And so how do we decide how much space for a truck to do that menu is? And how do we figure out what's the cost going to be of that truck? And what else do we have to think about? Do we need the commercial kitchen, somebody, the commissary to be able to pre-produce food? And just what is it we need to know?
Well, someone who's never been on the other side of the food truck window are going to have a lot of those questions. So learn as much as you can ahead of time. Ideal situation, go work on one. Go work on an operating food truck right now, part-time, do it on weekends. Or if you're not working full-time, go work on a truck for at least a month. If you can work on it a year, the longer you work on it, the more experience you're going to gain. And you'll learn a lot about that when you decide to build your truck. The other option is work with someone who can help you with design. I've actually helped a couple concepts try to streamline their design process before they pull the trigger to buy an existing truck.
Mistakes are expensive on a truck.
They're not mistakes. It's called tuition. They're not mistakes. As an owner, you don't make any mistakes.
Okay.
you pay a lot of tuition for learning along the way. And that's, even to this day, I'm still paying tuition to learn.
I like that.
But one of the things that I've pride myself is to share my knowledge and experiences, because I don't want others to pay the same tuition that I've paid. So if I can share some of that information with them and just kind of accelerate their business along the way, why not?
So what are some of the biggest mistakes in designing the trucks that you've seen, the tuition that you've seen paid?
I've made this mistake myself. Spend a little more upfront on quality equipment, especially like refrigeration. Some of them are limited budgets, and they try to buy used refrigeration.
Oh.
The consequences of buying some used equipment, based on my experiences, typically outweigh the cost of a brand new one. So that's one mistake. One area that I would say, buy the new refrigerator. You could buy used tables as long as they're all stainless steel. Don't get the galvanized legs or the undershells because they rust.
Right.
So those are some of the lessons that I've learned. And also from a design perspective, if you put the refrigerator freezer at the very front of the truck, make sure it comes out. I've seen trucks where they loaded it in, but the walkways are
two feet wide,
but the refrigerator's 3 feet deep. And if anything ever happens to it, they have to empty the entire truck just to get the refrigerator.
Remove all of the equipment, right?
Exactly. So that's going to be a tough lesson for someone, maybe not tomorrow, but 3 years, 4 years down the road, that refrigerator might go out and they're going to have to break it up in pieces.
No, it will eventually go out.
Eventually it'll go out.
I mean, because the life most things designed, I think anymore, are like 7 years. So if you expect to be around at least 7 years, like hot water tanks, all that kind of stuff.
But you also got to think that a lot of the equipment that we're putting on food trucks, the truck is mobile. The equipment was not designed for mobile.
Yeah, because it's about the vibrations. And
yep. I've seen 2-inch screws, 1-inch screws that screwed into the walls. And then a year later, screw is missing. And it's like, how did it unscrew itself? Well, it's 50,000 miles of driving and all that vibration. That's how the screws unscrew.
Well, yeah, because the vibration is going to make the hole larger, those kind of things, depending on what materials it's anchored in.
Absolutely.
So it's like, and that's the other thing you have to think about. You might want to use toggle anchors rather than screws. I mean, it's just the construction and asking those kind of questions whenever.
Well, a metal fabricator, a friend of mine, gave me the ideas. Every screw that you put in a food truck, use some clear silicone. Put silicone underneath the head, and when you screw it in, leave it alone for a few hours, and then that'll actually slow down the vibration.
Well, that's cool. So, but we find the menu, we get the idea for our business. When you decided to do your truck, how long did it take to get it built, to get your team together, to run it, to get up and running and on the road the first time selling product?
Well, fortunately, when I started, I already had a brand.
Right.
I had a brand that was already, several years in the making. So I knew the name of the truck. I knew the menu for sure because
it's the name. Yeah.
This is what we serve in the restaurant. I'm just going to put it on the truck. And so I was ready to roll. So I had all those two key pieces perfected. Deciding on a fabricator, I looked into 6 different companies to build my truck. And then I selected one out of Florida to have it built. They basically turned around my truck in about 5 weeks.
Okay.
So from the time they got a check to the time I pick up my truck was about 5 weeks time frame. So it wasn't too bad.
So how did you decide and check out those fabricators to know? Were they only food truck fabricators? Were they well known? How did you go to identify those 6 that you were going to talk to?
Well, first, got to make sure they have a website. Second, got to make sure a live person actually answers the phone that's on the website. But I actually, when I narrowed down to my choices, I actually flew down to Florida to visit their facility. I've heard of some pretty bad horror stories, and one happened here in the area where they were kind of scam artists and they took advantage of some people's life savings and dreams.
Ooh.
So I went down to Florida just to make sure this company is legitimate. And of course, when I get down there, the guy had 12 food trucks in construction, and he showed me the different stages and showed me layouts, and we had a contract, and I was able to select the floor plan and make some changes and revisions as needed. Of course, he did as promised, delivered as promised, and I paid as promised. So everything was on schedule, and that's why I had a really great experience with my builder. Of course, 2-3 years afterwards, I wish I would have done this.
Yeah.
I wish I would have.
That tuition?
Exactly. That's the tuition. But when you're at the very beginning, you don't have the intuition
right.
to know about how much tuition you're going to be paying.
Well, it's like designing kitchens in a home. You try to get that triangle and that right dynamic between where the stove is, where the prep area is, and where the refrigerator is. But then you have to not only add that flow, you have to think, well, if there's three of us in here in this 2-foot aisle, serving, cooking, boxing, all of those kind of things, you got to think of that flow of how many people are going to man the truck.
Absolutely.
Where's everything going to be, those roles and responsibilities and stuff like that too.
Absolutely. That's why I recommend a lot of people who are starting food trucks, and I offer my services to kind of help them with design aspects of it, just to kind of give them a little taste of all the things that I've paid for and learned over the years. When I rebuild another truck, I would do it entirely different. As a matter of fact, I could almost build the truck myself with the right tools, just based on I've had my hands on fixing everything on the truck. And as a food truck owner, you're going to learn how to do some basic plumbing and basic electrical and know how to use a screw gun to put in screws and silicone. So you'll learn a lot of that regardless of
you're
how
really
handy
hands-on,
you are.
Right?
Absolutely.
So in your business, are you thinking you'll ever have a second, a third truck? Is it just the one truck and then all of the other things that you've learned through it and you're doing the FUSI and you have all of these different aspects to the platform that you're building? Or do you think you'll eventually have multiple trucks?
Right now, I have multiple businesses. And of course, with my involvement in FUSI, that's definitely a high radar item on my priority. Not looking at trying to build a second truck right now, if anything else. I'm happy to share my knowledge and expertise to helping others build their trucks successfully. And of course, as I help get people into business, oh, by the way, you need to download the FUSI app and you need to be a customer of ours.
Right.
And because here's some of the pain points and challenges you're going to experience along the way. They're time-consuming pieces if you want to do it manually. But as FUSI develops and gets more successful and able to launch its products, the amount of time that they're going to be able to save is tremendous. And you also got to keep in mind, typically behind every food truck is their local entrepreneurs.
Right.
And many who have, they used to work paycheck to paycheck. They used to work for someone else.
Right.
But bottom line, the way I look at it, behind every food truck is a family with husband, wife, and kids, and a lot of friends and family who support their endeavors to take in the big leap to go into business for themselves. Many of them are going to business for themselves for the first time. So it's definitely some very scary waters for them because they're no longer having that comfort zone of having their check to take care of the family. And of course, as you get further in life with more kids and so forth, that risk-taking effort is even greater because you've got a whole family behind you depending upon your risks.
Well, I know restaurants are always considered one of the riskier ventures you can go into. They have a high failure rate. Does that translate into food trucks too? And if so, how do they turn it around? Does somebody just come in and buy the used food truck and put a new picture on it? What goes on in the industry in those terms?
Well, the big difference between restaurant and food trucks, of course, is the financial aspect of it. You're going to spend several hundred thousand dollars building out a restaurant. Restaurants are stationary, brick and mortar. They're not moving. So
you don't get the right location.
It's all about location, location, location. If the location is not good, you've got several years of lease that you've agreed to pay rent, and you've got an uphill battle to get make it successful. And a lot has failed, and they've been unsuccessful. So it typically leads into high loss of revenue, lawsuits, and even potential bankruptcy for some members. Where a food truck doesn't cost as much to get started, so your financial risk to launch and go in business for yourself is a fraction of what it costs to start a restaurant. Also keep in mind, you're not paying a high dollar rent to have a dining room, a bathroom, a hostess station, large storage room, because those don't exist in your food truck. And I've seen a lot of executive chefs who are really great in managing their kitchen area, but they're lousy business owners because they can't manage the front of the house. So food truck operation, and what if a year or two into it, it just wasn't your cup of tea anymore. You're not trying to sell a $500,000 restaurant that's unprofitable. You're trying to sell a $50,000 food truck idea that's not profitable. So you sell it for $20,000 or $30,000 and you get out of it.
So with the food trucks, what are the things that seem to contribute to the lack of profitability, the inability to make it succeed versus for one, is it the menu? Is it the lack of being able to manage the inventory, too many items? Is it the branding? Is it not finding locations? What are the elements that you see most commonly contribute to food trucks not making it?
With any business is not having enough money, not generating enough revenue. And you also always got to look at, well, why am I not generating enough revenue? It's bottom line, it's all math. Bad math means you didn't price your menu out properly. You undercharged, so you didn't have enough built in to make a profit. And that's why a lot of food trucks fail. Everyone is always afraid to charge what they should charge. Okay, right. Give yourself some credit. You're a passionate and qualified chef. You may not have a culinary degree, but you have a passion for food. You have your grandmother's 200-year-old chili recipe. There is some great value in that because it's incredible chili. Charge for it. Make a profit. Don't be guilty when you go to the bank and you've got profits in there. It's a better problem to have than being guilty that I can't make payroll and I can't buy food and I can't support my family. So a lot of them, unfortunately, they're a little stubborn to make the change until it's almost too late, that they've gone significant losses and they can't support their family. So I say it's all math. But more importantly, if you don't have enough events for your food truck business, that's math also. So you have to be able to find new events and make a good profit on each of them and execute.
So what kind of events are you looking for? The food truck rodeos? What else type of events do you look for?
Well, now that we're getting into what I call food truck season, because the spring is kicking in, summer's around the corner, and there's definitely a lot of festivals and rodeos taking place on the weekends. During the week, there's plenty of office parks that look for food trucks to stop by as a convenience to serve lunch for their tenants and residents. A lot of schools, there's definitely a lot of festivals, carnivals, fairs that the schools are having, that they're always looking for food trucks. So food trucks is a great convenience for just about any event or gathering where there's a lot of people that probably need to pick up a convenient lunch or dinner. Church events have been really good. And of course, there's a lot of breweries and more breweries brewing up. They have plenty of beer, so you got to make sure there's food options for them too. So those have been really well.
So when we're talking about seasons, so is it difficult as a food truck owner to find things in the off seasons, or do you go to different locations? Do you look for different things when it's, you know, snowing in North Carolina?
It depends on what kind of squirrel you want to be. I've met food truck owners who they're very savvy squirrels, and they hide their nut a little bit every month. And then they enjoy December and January and half of February off. They totally don't run the truck and take very good, valuable time off and spend it with families, enjoy the holidays and travel.
Kind of like a school year in reverse.
Exactly. Right. So I've seen some very successful entrepreneurs that do that. And then, of course, the entrepreneurs that are out there to hustle. They're a husband-wife team, and they're running the truck. I don't care if it's snowing. We're going out. They run it throughout the winter. And they'll go pick, you know, the office parks are still running mostly year-round. Churches still have events. During the holidays, they take some time off. But typically, even in the wintertime, there's definitely opportunity, but not as many, of course.
So are there challenges, too, about what trucks can go where? So the regulations by city, say in Cary, can you do it one way and you can park anywhere? Or in Raleigh says you can only have your food truck in certain areas. Or vice versa?
Well, majority of the places that we go to, we're either invited or we've applied to participate, and it's typically property managers or event coordinators. So although we're not technically allowed to just randomly park somewhere in downtown Raleigh, but when someone puts on a nice festival that's happening in downtown Raleigh, they've already gotten the right permissions and permits to organize their events. So when the trucks apply and participate in their festivals, they've already gotten approval by the city to participate through their festival. So majority of it is, if you're invited by the property owner, then you're good and safe. But of course, many of the cities and municipalities, they want to get a piece of the pie. So you have to have a Town of Apex permit, right, that we have to pay and apply for to be able to serve anywhere in Apex. And other towns have very similar permit processes. Not anything that's too crushing. It's an annual permit, but you just have to go through the process.
Equivalent to what the privilege licenses used to be in each of the towns for businesses to do business.
Absolutely. I look at those as it's another college application that we have to pay and apply for. This is where the technology really
needs to come. You need to put it on the FUSI app.
This is where we need to put it on the FUSI app. As anything, any kind of permits and events that we have to apply for or notifying health departments when we're in a different county, all that really needs to be automated with technology.
And so is there like a checklist of I want to do a food truck, or I think I want to do a food truck, I want to pull out all my grandma's recipes and make stuff from the 1800s. Is there a process I need to think of beyond my menu, going through, what's my financial outlay going to be? What's my transition time? Is there like a checklist that you go over in your course that says, okay, we're going to go through these steps? And when you get to this step, it's a go or a no-go.
Everyone still has to look at a food truck business like it's a business. You got to take it very seriously. Even though the money to build it is not as large as building a restaurant, you still need to go about it with a business plan. It doesn't have to be too, heavy and complex, but you need to have your thoughts all organized. And having a checklist, absolutely. I preach it all the time of checklists on your menu. What ingredients? How are you going to prep it? What's it going to cost? And how are you going to price it out? And does that pricing make sense? Who's going to work it? How much does it cost to build a truck? How are you going to do the equipment?
What hours are you open?
When are you going to open? And you're not going to work 8 days a week, 26 hours a day. You got to make that determination of, are you doing it full-time or part-time? Because a lot of that gets dictated by you've got a family to support. At some point, you've got to be a husband and a dad and a brother and a son besides the food truck owner. So you can't be food truck owner 24 hours a day, 7 days
a week. You want the food truck to be help you live, not to be your life.
Exactly.
Right.
You have to have a good balance between your personal and your business at all times.
So three things that are the biggest lessons you've had being a food truck owner?
You have to trust. You have to trust your staff, and you have to teach and help build them. That's probably one of the first things, because one of the things I've learned is I can't be the guy on the truck every single time. Now, right. I remember when I first started, I bought this brand new pickup truck and nobody was going to drive it besides myself. I spent a lot of money on this food truck trailer. Right. And no one's going to pull it besides myself because I've got a lot of money into it. And it wasn't until about 9 months into it that, okay, I'm a little tired. Maybe I should start trusting my staff to do it. And then that's when I decided to hand over the keys to them and let them start doing it. And to my surprise, they executed fine and they took care of business. So just over time, I was able to let go a little bit more.
So the right people, give them the right delegation to them with the ability to do it, to
yes.
have your life.
Yes. The other thing I wish I would have learned before I built the truck was interact with more food truck owners to learn from them what they've learned after building. I could have taken a lot of those lessons into the design of my truck.
Paid less tuition.
Pay a whole lot less tuition. And this is where I'm at today, because I know there are still a lot of people who are dreaming and want to build their truck and they haven't pulled the trigger. This is where the great opportunity that they will have to reach out to other food truck owners and learn from them. And then, reach out to me. I'm happy to kind of sit down.
And how do they reach you?
They can email me. They can even find me on my HibachiExpress.com website, contact us page. Send an email there. I'll definitely find that for sure.
Well, believe it or not, it's the end of the show. I want to thank Ray for being on the show again. And everyone, will have the podcast available on focusonbusinessradio.com.